You've tuned in on a great day because today you are going to get to meet people that are doing some great things for kids with technology, community, and education, and support from the Sprout Fund and its Spark program. The Sprout Fund is a unique fund that was established here in the Pittsburgh area, in part to try to help keep younger people and fresh ideas here in Pittsburgh and providing a way that these new types of thoughts could flourish. And Ryan Kuhn is here from the Sprout Fund. You're a better spokesperson for the Sprout Fund than I am, but it's really to help sprout these new things, right?
Yeah, sure. We've started in 2001 doing exactly what you described, dedicating a little bit of financial support and also community connections to help people with new ideas find a place to make those ideas grow here in Pittsburgh. And with the Spark program, that's one of the ways that we are supporting new ideas and specifically supporting ideas to improve the lives of children in the region.
The Spark program is now, I believe, in its
third year.
Boy, it's gone very quickly, and it's supported by the Grable Foundation.
That's right.
And we'll tell you about a special Making Sparks program that I believe you can still be part of.
Is yeah, still you can room? Still register. Yeah, of course.
So if you're interested in these issues, we'll tell you how to get involved. That's happening this week. Meanwhile, though, who have you brought with you today?
Sure. Well, I've brought four program managers from different projects that we've supported, actually all pretty recent projects in the past couple of rounds, just early this year. We've brought Colleen Young from the Office of Child Development at the University of Pittsburgh, Wendy Brenneman from the Carnegie Science Center, Aubrey Schick from the
Carnegie Mellon Robotics Center.
There you go. And Denise Hill from East Liberty Family Support.
Well, let's start with you, Denise. Denise is East Liberty Family Support, and you're also with the Kingsley Association as well, I think.
Yes.
I thought so. And your project is called Baby Promise, and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the name came about because, as you know, in the Pittsburgh area, we have the Pittsburgh Promise for our elementary and high school students so that they are able to go on and fulfill their dreams of going to college. So we thought, you know, education and learning actually starts from infancy on, and that parents need to start thinking now when they have their children about how to connect with the Pittsburgh Promise later on. So we thought Baby Promise would give them kind of a way to say, okay, I'm starting now to get my child ready for their future. So this program will help them look at a couple of aspects of getting ready for later years. One is through technology, trying to help them understand how to advance their child's literacy development and how to make technology a part of that program. We know that research says, you know, children shouldn't have screen time too young of an age, but we also know in reality we're seeing toddlers running around with iPhones and, you know, tapping on the computers that mom and dad are at and at laptops. So we thought we could put together a program that would help parents intentionally try to plan how to work with their kids around technology.
That's such a seemingly obvious thing to do, but people really don't have the resources or understanding. You kind of just wing it. And with these technologies so ubiquitous in people's homes, you really could use a nice resource for it. And what's nice is programs such as the Harlem Children's Zone, where, you know, a region has been set aside to make sure that children make it from birth to adulthood. It's nice to be starting with babies so young, and it's a really interesting thing you're doing. What gave you the idea to do this, or what sparked your idea?
Actually, it was the Harlem Children's Village and then bringing it here to Homewood, and we thought, you know, they had the right idea. They do work with infants and toddlers in Harlem as well. So, you know, Pittsburgh now is following their model, and we wanted to be a part of that. So we thought there's a good place for us to start.
So it's sort of a pilot in part of Homewood?
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, Homewood is not a monolithic area. There's different parts of Homewood. Are you doing a particular neighborhood? Or?
Well, we're actually located in East Liberty, but we're so close to Homewood.
You know,
many of our families are you know, traveling back and forth between the communities, so that, you know, when you do things in East Liberty, people from Homewood will come and be a part of it as well.
And what kinds of materials or what are the practical aspects of getting involved and getting help?
Well, what we're doing is we already have our family support program, and we provide in-home services. So we're actually taking portable devices like iPads and the Samsung Zoom and, you know, all the various kinds of technologies that are out there that are portable, that we can already have the internet downloaded and ready for them to use it, taking it into the home and letting parents kind of practice, become comfortable with it, and then show them the various websites that are being developed, especially for children.
Very nice. You must have a project team that's supporting you as well as you. Are there other people you'd like to acknowledge?
Oh, definitely. Maria Graziani helped tremendously to put the Spark Grant together, as well as Fred Brown, our director. You know, and our whole team of family development specialists were all gave us our input on how they thought they would do with the technology, what families, how they could experience, how it could be helpful. They're very excited about getting started with this.
Do you have a sense of how many families you've interacted with so far? I know that Sprout will be asking you that very specifically eventually, but do you have a sense of how many?
We work with about 100 families, and oftentimes, even in these days and times, that translates into a tremendous number of children. Our families average between 3 and 5 children per family, so you're almost looking at 300 children when you're looking at 100 families that you're impacting.
What has surprised you the most as you've gone into homes and have worked with parents? You've been exposed to a lot more caregivers than ever as a result of this project. At least I would imagine you have been.
Well, I think that it's not a surprise, but it's nice to know parents want the best for their children. They want to learn how to help their child progress in the future, how to succeed. And they just need a little guide and sometimes a little helping hand. They're there to, they know how to observe their children. They're watching how they grow, and they want to be a part of that process and to be, you know, really fully functioning and helping their children to do well in school.
Do you have children yourself?
Oh, I have 3. They're all grown, but I have 6 grands that I dote on. So,
do you ever wonder what it would have been like raising your children with the technical revolutions going on today?
Oh, I can remember our first computer, and they were already practically in high school, and it was like, I didn't want to touch it, you know, but they were very comfortable, but I was kind of standoffish for a while, but they kind of took to it like fish in water. I was the fish out of water.
How can people get involved with your program? You're still continuing, right?
Oh, absolutely. You can contact us at the Kingsley Association, the Family Support Office there, and we'd be happy to take your application.
Excellent. And do you have the number offhand?
Yeah. It's 412-362-7609.
And let me turn back to Ryan. Do you have any comments you'd like to make about Denise Hill's program she's been discussing?
Well, sure, yeah. It was a pretty unique project for us. We had not seen a whole lot of literacy-focused projects and also technological literacy for parents as well. So that was one of the unique things that we saw in the application for Baby Promise that won its support.
Yeah, it's really interesting, the research that's being done on screen time and very young children. And there's a lot of arguments about it, too, in terms of what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate. So I think the data and the information you get, I was curious if you're hearing back from parents after your visits to learn about what's happened and how they've used the websites or technologies you've introduced them to.
Well, our program is actually just beginning. We've just gotten our award, so we haven't actually started as of yet. Most of the time, our parents are interacting with technology. It's the 2 lonely computers that we have at our site.
So. I see. Well, I will really wish you the best, and I know if you're modeling this, after the Harlem Children's Zone. This is going to be a long relationship. Hopefully you'll be seeing these very young children as young adults, and well, as teens and then young adults as they go through. Congratulations.
Oh,
what a great project. Why don't we turn to Aubrey next, who is with the Robotics Institute, and she's project manager for a program called Memote.
That's actually Memote.
Oh, Memote. Sorry about that.
Memote comes from...
How did I miss that?
Memote. So Memote is kind of like emote me. And the idea behind that was that the robot can not only show its own emotions, but help express emotions for children.
Okay, I've seen this project before. What part of Carnegie Mellon are you? It's the Robotics Institute?
I am research staff in the Robotics Institute, but prior to that, I had been a graduate student in the Human-Computer Interaction Institute.
Okay, I think when working in Create Lab, I've seen bits of this peripheral.
Actually, this project was conceived in December, so it actually is brand new.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm confusing this, but in any event, tell me more about the specifics. You're actually producing a hardware robot, or will be producing that?
Well, the way the MIMO project works is that we are developing a do-it-yourself robot platform that will be used for special needs therapy. And the do-it-yourself aspect is part of a community outreach and education project where the robots will be built by children and their families in the community, and then donated to care facilities to be used for therapy. There's actually been a lot of research to show that robots can make a difference in special needs children with social, emotional, and developmental disorders, particularly autism spectrum disorder children. So we're focusing on the research that's been done in that area and developing a robot that addresses those needs, but we're combining the community aspect of building it in the community and then kind of giving the children who help build those robots the altruistic experience of giving to needy children. But another component of it is a community website where people using the robots are able to contribute back their experiences, maybe put videos, maybe post, you know, what they've done with the robots. And that will go into research, as it is that I consider myself a design researcher. And what we do is we take what we learn from the real world and we apply that to new developing technologies.
Interesting. And, you know, it in some respects, I think you're adding on to an age-old therapeutic method. I mean, dolls or teddy bears.
It's kind of related to perhaps like puppet therapy,
yeah.
Play therapy,
yeah.
Pet therapy.
And that I was going to say an object in some cases inanimate with pets, you know, a live object and with a robot, you know, an animated object of sorts, provides a great deal of therapy. And what's interesting, I think, in your case is it sounds, the responsiveness, I guess, and the adaptiveness. If I were a child with a Memote, say Ryan was a child with a Memote, mm-hmm. would our Memotes be different after they spent an hour with us?
Well, the Memote platform is really customizable, so you can put sensors that are specific to your therapeutic needs. The actual physical bodies of the Memote can be customized. After you interact with your Memote and Ryan interacts with his Memote, they're fairly simplified platforms in that, you know, most of the robots being developed for ASD therapy, in particular autism spectrum disorder, are very, very expensive, sometimes, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. But this robot is being designed to be built for $200, which is really kind of unheard of for all of the sensors and capabilities that we're putting on this robot. But the way MIMO would interact with you is it would react if it was in autonomous mode. There's also a remote control mode. It would kind of act like a little puppy or something, and when it gets close to you, it would bounce up and down. But if you step too close to it, it would, you know, back up so it doesn't get stepped on. And, you know, so it has a kind of playful aspect to it.
And does it learn and change as you interact with it?
So the thing about the MIMO robot is that it's built on the Arduino platform, and that's so that children and adults can build new programs for it and learn from it, because there's a large supportive community for the Arduino online. The Arduino itself does not actually support learning per se, so it's not, this is not a robot with artificial intelligence. The remote aspect, the remote control aspect of the robot would be used by a therapist or a parent, or in the case of older children, they would be able to use it. So the specific therapeutic aspects of the robot would be guided by a therapist or parent.
Got it. And it's very interesting. This platform has an open source community aspect to it of sorts, mm-hmm. right, that programs the robot. And then you've got children and families actually getting involved in building these Miimotes, mm-hmm. and then a community of children using them. So you've been able to take something that some folks might think of as very technical and very esoteric and involve a very broad group of people. Now, before we finish up, this idea of a $200 therapeutic robot, I mean, you're sort of borrowing some supply chain aspects and some distribution aspects from mass marketing or industry. Can you explain a little bit about how you're able to do that?
Well, an interesting thing about this robot is it's almost like an IKEA product in that the robot completely flat packs.
Yeah, it even has a name like IKEA, MIMO. Well, I could see IKEA having like a MIMO coffee table.
You know, I didn't think about that. They might, who knows. But the robot completely flat packs and could be mailed in like a fairly thin box, and we're also saving costs in that it's built by the community, and all of the plans to build MIMOTE are freely available online at www.mimoterobotproject.com. So you could even go today and learn to build a MIMOTE yourself. The code to make MIMOTE run can be uploaded via just a standard USB cable, and you can write new behaviors yourself if you want to do that too.
How interesting. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to pass along? It's really a fascinating project.
Well, I just wanted to mention that in addition to Spark funding us, we've also been supported in part by the National Science Foundation. And we've been getting a lot of support from the Quality of Life Technology Center at CMU, and that's been really helpful in the development of the project.
That's great. And that's Aubrey Schick and Ryan Kuhn from the Sprout Fund. Anything else you'd like to mention about the project?
Well, yeah, I think actually it's a different approach, in as Aubrey mentioned, other therapeutic robots have not been as sort of modular or crowdsourced, so to speak, We've also supported that side of things, too, through the firm Innerbots and their Popchilla robot that also works with autism spectrum disorder children in a more directed, I guess, remote way.
Thanks. We're going to take a short break. And if you're just joining us, we're chatting with recent recipients of grants under the Sprout Fund's SPARK program. When we come back, we're going to tell you about how you can perhaps apply for a grant under that same program, and also about a special session taking place this week. And you'll hear about two more projects, too, as we broadcast live from historic Allegheny Square in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh, along with the Sprout Fund SPARK program and Ricky Berger and Robert Gray. This is Larry Berger. This is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on public radio. The sun is up and out, and it's a beautiful day. Sunset tonight, 8:14. High today and tomorrow, around 68 degrees. Some rain in the forecast for tonight in Ohio, but clear in western Pennsylvania, about a 60% chance in Ohio, and then about a 60% chance of rain tomorrow. Sunset at 8:14 tonight, followed by a low of about 47 degrees. Currently, it's 45 in Grove City and Washington, 43 in Indiana and Clarion, 46 degrees in New Concord, Ohio, and also 46 degrees at our studios in historic Allegheny Square in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh, 931 at the Saturday Light Brigade.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Way down in your heart, you've got to let it shine. Way down in your heart, you've got to let it shine. Way down in your heart, you've got to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine. Even in your school, you gotta let it shine. Even in your school, you've got to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Ingrid Lucia at the Saturday Light Brigade in this little light of mine. Thanks for being here today. Good morning if you're listening in New Concord, Ohio. Welcome to this hour of the Saturday Light Brigade. And we're talking about some pretty special things going on in our area. And in a moment, if you have somebody in your family that's getting ready for kindergarten this fall, we have some ideas that you'll find of interest. Stick around for that.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Girl Scouts Western Pennsylvania. These are the girls who do great things. Additional information is available at gswpa.org or 1-800-248-3355. Ever wonder how a live radio program comes together? Come see us any Saturday morning. Our studios are located in the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh in Allegheny Square on Pittsburgh's historic north side. Doors open at 10 a.m., and there's no charge to be part of our studio audience. We also offer weekday and Sunday workshops. More information is available at 412-586-6300 or slbradio.org.
Features added to neighborhoodvoices.org this week include live bluegrass from M&M Express, reflections on bullying from 11 students at Barrett Elementary School in Homestead, and Manchester Elementary School fourth graders talking about their favorite things. Listen on demand or download these features at neighborhoodvoices.org from the Saturday Light Brigade. Ricky and Robert and I will be here to help you make a CD for Mother's Day. Now in our sixth year, if my memory is right, we'll be open daily, starting today through Mother's Day, giving you a chance to make an audio CD that can be decorated, affixed to a special card, and brought home as a Mother's Day gift to be cherished for a lifetime. We'll interview you. Kids also can record a special song or poem. It's up to you. No appointment is needed. 1 until 4 o'clock today through May 8th. Purchase of a CD creation card kit from the museum store is required, with proceeds benefiting SLB programs for youth and families. Thanks for joining us. It's a special kind of show today. We often have a lot of family-oriented puzzles and games and activities, and today we're zooming up sort of at the 50,000-foot level and talking about some of the important support mechanisms we need to do so that we can enjoy the human condition together. And we're going to talk next about somebody that I've met before. He's green and sort of is a happy guy as he goes through encouraging people to do things. And he's got a theme song this year. I haven't heard his theme song yet, but it sounds like this.
My teeth. I look myself in the mirror and say, wow, I sure look neat. But I've gotta hurry up, there's a place I wanna go. But they're gonna teach me all the things I need to know. So are you ready? Ready? Ready to have some fun? Are you ready? Ready? Ready to get things done? I'm gonna make new friends, read lots of stories, learn my letters and numbers too. And I can't wait till I can show you all the things I'm gonna learn to do. Are you ready? Ready? Ready to have some fun? Are you ready? Ready? I'll see you at school, everyone.
That's the Ready Freddy theme song, and we're going to talk about the Ready Freddy program with Colleen Young from the University of Pittsburgh Office of Child Development. She's project manager for the virtual Welcome to Kindergarten from Ready Freddy, and we're going to move that microphone over to you.
Thank you.
Now, I've met Ken Lystico, who's a good friend, and Ken has played Ready Freddy before.
Yes.
And is this year number 3 for the program? It's been around for a few years now. A
few years. We actually got started in 2007 with funding from the Heinz Endowments. We've been operating ever since then.
And kindergarten readiness is hugely important. You know, a lot of districts do have kindergarten orientation programs, but kindergarten readiness is a little different than that, isn't it?
Yeah, kindergarten readiness and kindergarten transition are two different concepts. When a lot of people think of readiness, they think of, you know, learning your letters and numbers and being prepared academically for school, and even socially, emotionally. But what we're talking about with transition is really a specific period of time that comes from the year starting to kindergarten and through kindergarten,
helping children and their parents get feel prepared and safe and comfortable so that when you show up on the first day of school, you're excited and ready to learn.
There probably, I would imagine, is no year of school where the difference between day one and day, say, 181 is as different as kindergarten, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first day of kindergarten is a whole new experience, both for children and their parents. It's your first day of really formal education. Even if you've gone to preschool, kindergarten is the big school. You're going to be with the older kids. It's a whole new experience. You're going to be sitting down in a classroom for longer periods of time than you may have before. And it can be a little scary for some kids who don't know what to expect. So what we try to do is help families feel prepared so they know what to expect. They may have met their teacher and maybe seen the classroom. All the things that you would want to do, like if you were starting your job, if you were an adult and you're starting your first job and you go and you don't know, you know, who are you going to be working with? Who's your boss? Where's the bathroom? You don't know anything about your job. You might be a little bit anxious. Well, kids feel the same way.
I can remember very clearly feeling certain stresses in kindergarten. I've talked about some of them on the air before, but it can... You know, as an adult, we might chuckle a little bit and say, oh, how could you get lost? Yeah. Or, oh, how could you be worried about what happens when the door gets closed? Or about why is everybody doing the same thing at the same time? This is different. I don't remember that being like that before. But it really is a stressful time potentially for a child, isn't it? And a parent.
Yes, yes. I mean, it can be stressful, or what we hope is that it can be a fun and exciting time. If you spend the summer beforehand thinking about what are the fun things you're going to be doing and meeting your teacher and going to the school and learning about the fun parts about how school can be a great experience, then when you show up on the first day, you're much more excited and less scared about it.
Now, one reason Colleen Young is here is because her Ready Freddy program that she's representing from the University of Pittsburgh Office of Child Development was the recipient of a grant from the SPARK program of the Sprout Fund. And this is to extend the Ready Freddy program into the virtual world.
Yes, we're very excited about it. So some of your listeners may already know that we've had a book out for a little while. It's called Ready Freddy Goes to School, and Ken Smythe-Lystigo is actually the author of that. And what we're going to be doing this year is we're going to be taking that book and putting it online. So it's going to be an online interactive book that will be read through a narrator, and kids will have an opportunity to click through the book and do lots of little games as they go through the book, find different things on the page, listen to the Ready Freddy song and another song called The Cool School Hop. It's just a fun way for them to start thinking about kindergarten before school starts. Now, we also have a second part of our project, which is specific to some of the kids that we work with directly in the Hill District. The two elementary schools there, Weill and Miller, are going to be updating their own personal school web pages to have a virtual tour of their schools and introduce kids before the start of school to what their school might look like, who their teachers might be, and the principal. So it's a fun way to get more opportunities for these families to see their school before they may have an opportunity to go there in person.
And in this case, the kids are actually going to be producing this tour, taking the pictures and...
At one of the schools, actually, Miller, they recently had an event, and the principal gave little disposable cameras to all the kids that went on the tour. And so they took pictures of what the school looks like from their perspective. So we're excited to see those and incorporate those into the tour.
What a good idea. What is behind your passion for kindergarten readiness?
I think it's just the knowledge that education is so important. And we know that if kids don't feel prepared and ready when they start school, that they start to fall behind. And, you know, it's so important for kids to feel like they want to be a part of school and to love learning, and to really encourage that passion early on is so important. And so I think that's one of the big drivers.
One thing that is part of the Ready Freddy program, too, that I've always really admired is the Hands Across event, mm-hmm. Hands Across the Hill, that's done to honor children beginning kindergarten at Miller and at Weill mm-hmm. at the beginning of every school year. Will you be doing that again this year?
Yes, I believe we will. It's been a very exciting event the past couple of years we've done it. We actually have a video of last year's event on our website, which we just actually launched recently. It's www.readyfreddy.org. And you can also hear the Ready Freddy song on the website as well. But the first day of school event is just a recognition of all the hard work that goes in, not just for families being prepared for kindergarten, but the school and the community really rallies around this whole concept and gets involved in it. And, you know, the Hill District has had a long history, but recently they've been very active in preparing and helping kids start for the start of kindergarten.
Do some parents keep their kids out of kindergarten?
Some do, less now than before. When we first started this program, we found that in some communities that only 25% of the children who were expected to show up on the first day actually showed up. And then after, you know, realizing that we needed to really reach out to those families and explain the importance of starting kindergarten, the following year that same school had 100% attendance on the first day. So
yeah, there could be a perception that kindergarten is optional because a generation or two ago, some districts had kindergarten while others did not. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a family with mixed backgrounds in terms of relationships with kindergarten, that might be the case.
Right.
And I would suspect, I know that when you have a child in school, it brings some new challenges in terms of picking up and mm-hmm. taking care of and moving around. So those are some lifestyle changes that parents and caregivers need to make too.
Right. The other point is that, you know, even if families enroll their children in kindergarten, they may not be sending their kids every day to school. And I used to think back when I was in kindergarten, I think it's a little bit different now. So when I was in kindergarten, we did, you know, not as much formal education as they do now. And now it's really important that every day you're there to get those learning opportunities. And some of the reasons that you might stay home from school, maybe not as important as going to school would be.
Colleen Young is the voice you're hearing. Is there anything else you want to mention about the Ready Freddy program and the work sponsored by Sprout to create the virtual Welcome to Kindergarten?
Well, I just wanted to thank the Sprout Fund. We're very excited about this grant, and also thank the author and performer for our songs, Josh Mangan. Has been a great help to us, and also the team, Ken Smith-Lysico and Medina Jackson, both out in the community doing great stuff.
Also, I would be very remiss if I didn't mention that Kindergarten Here I Come Day here at the Children's Museum is August 13th. It's a community-wide day where any rising kindergartner can come free with a caregiver, and we'll be here collecting stories and passing along stories from older kids with advice about kindergarten. I hope you'll be able to be here too.
Yes, we will
on that
here.
Date, but that'll be coming up in mid-August, and we'll give you more details as we get a little closer. Ryan, as a is our practice for this morning. Any comments on Colleen's program?
Sure. Well, I think one of the things that we're also really excited to see is the format of the Hill District sites that will introduce kids to their very classroom and their very school and teacher become a template to expand to other schools as well.
Very good idea. So it'll be interesting, and other schools can sort of make variations on those same themes, just like hotels. You know, it seems right. You know, you could look at a hotel room before you stay in it, you know, for 2 days. You ought to be able to look at a classroom you're going to stay in for a whole year, right, in
yeah.
the hall. So sounds like a great program. We're going to turn to Wendy Brenneman from Carnegie Science Center in a moment. But before I forget, there is a Super Spark grant opportunity
right.
coming up. And possibly some other Sprout funding opportunities. And I just wanted to turn to Ryan. If you are scratching your head right now saying, you know, I've got an idea and I'd really like to do something, and if only I could get some help, the Sprout Fund has money, but they also have connections and ideas and resources. And I'd like Ryan to just explain what some of those are, because you're part of this community, and it would be nice to have you engage in some of these activities too.
Sure, sure. So specifically with the Spark program, as you mentioned, we have a Super Spark application deadline coming up in June. And the Super Spark is an award of up to $50,000 to support new and innovative projects, collaborative projects that bring together educators and cultural leaders and technologists and media people to create new ideas that will improve the way children live, learn, and play here in Pittsburgh. And actually Baby Promise and Hello Robo, which we'll hear from in just a moment, are actually examples of Super Spark winning projects in the past. So that deadline, again, is on June 3rd. And in advance of that deadline, we're actually hosting an event this coming Tuesday on May 3rd. It's called Making Sparks. It's our annual kind of forum where we bring a lot of people together to think about these ideas and build some collaborations to put together some Super Spark applications. So that event's on Tuesday, May 3rd. It's 4 to 7 p.m. at the Carnegie Lecture Hall in Oakland, and people can still register. We'd be happy to have greater attendance and from all sorts of fields and sectors represented, from educators to artists, creative people of all types, media producers. It should be a great event.
Yeah, I'll be there. I hope you'll consider coming out. It's fun. And it's sproutfund.org.
Yeah, if they want to register, they could go to spark.sproutfund.org.
Excellent. And I should mention, we were the recipient of a MicroSpark grant about 2 years ago. And it had to do with our story boxes that we create. And, you know, back then, it cost us maybe $1,500 to create a story box and to work with kids. We were able to do a lot of work and learn from the children, and we can now produce them much less expensively. We've actually redesigned them and worked with a manufacturer to make them to our specifications.
Great.
Using some of what we learned. And the story boxes featuring the 3- and 4-year-olds from a Head Start program, we have little data loggers in them. They've had tens of thousands of plays with adults and other children listening to the voices of the 3- and 4-year-olds. And we have 100 story boxes about 100 yards away from here that are about to go out. So Spark is named Spark for a good reason. It's the spark that can ignite something much larger. And we're very appreciative of the Sprout Fund for its support of our work with that project. It did exactly what it was intended to do.
It's great to hear.
It sparked something. Now, Wendy is here. Hello, Robo. I kind of like the way that sounds. And she is going to tell us a little bit about this Carnegie Science Center project that's occurring. Wendy, what do you do for Carnegie Science Center?
I am the early childhood coordinator in the outreach department of Carnegie Science Center. We're science on the road. So we are sort of the solution to the problem that lots of schools have where they can't come to us, so we go to them instead.
Oh, you guys do some I don't get to the Science Center as often as I would like to, in part because I'm in a museum all the time. I like to get outside. But when I do go to festivals, I often see some really cool things. And those are yours?
Generally, we're doing the walk-up. So we'll be doing the liquid nitrogen ice cream or balancing robots, whatever it happens.
Making chalk.
Making chalk is a popular summer one.
Yeah, I like that one. So tell me about Hello Robo. How does this work?
Sure. So Hello Robo is going to be a year-long program that we're going to do with Pittsburgh public early childhood classrooms and also some early childhood classrooms in Westmoreland County. So we're going to reach about 131 classrooms and educators and their students. So we will be visiting the classroom once with a interactive program to sort of introduce the idea of robots to students. Just what is a robot? What does it do? When we visit the classroom, we're going to be leaving behind a kit for the teachers to keep in the classroom. That'll be a robotics kit with some robotics activities and curriculum for them to use in their classroom year-long and to keep after that.
What physically is in this kit besides instructional materials? Is there hardware and stuff?
That'll be a great question. We're also a new, the award is new to us.
Oh, you're probably still working
on this. So we're definitely still working. We're still developing.
I want to help. I want to put in, like, gizmos and Tinker Toy. But that could be a possibility,
I guess. Could definitely be a possibility. Luckily for me, we have RoboWorld at the Science Center now. So I'm definitely going to be using them as a resource in terms of what's hands-on that works for classrooms.
But the concept is you'll leave a kit at the schools after an introductory unit. What happens after that?
That's right. Well, I'll be providing year-long support, of course, for the teachers as they start to sort of integrate their robot into the classroom. And, you know, we'll be finding new ways to use them, for kids to use them. That'll be available to them at any time. We're also going to be doing family nights throughout the year. So this will be, we'll be visiting the school sites and giving families an opportunity to come with their students and interact together with the teachers will also be there. And they'll have these hands-on activities with technology and robots as well.
Now, how pervasive do you think robotics is in these very young age groups right now? Is it sort of spotty, or is it even there at all?
I think it's not at all common. If it is present in the classroom, I think it's probably thanks to the teacher in that classroom. If they've sort of taken the initiative, if they have a personal interest in bringing that in, it's possible that they've gone out and brought it in on their own. But it's not common, and I think technology as a whole really needs to be more common in early childhood classrooms.
My sense is that is true in older grades as well, in middle and high school. I know it is in media art. Something we work with is that it's not a foregone conclusion that middle school and high school kids are making videos and editing things. There's quite a variation, and it has there are lots and lots of factors in that, like teacher interest, as you said.
Definitely.
They're not just ones that some people would immediately think of, such as how well the district is endowed. It's very different depending on things.
And I think the comfort level is not there, and that's something that we're hoping to improve.
Interesting. How long have you been with the Science Center?
It's been about 5 years now. Oh. I started as a presenter and did the on-the-road programs and then became the coordinator 2 years ago.
Well, this is an exciting project. Ryan, any commentary on the project Wendy just described?
Sure. Well, we were really impressed and are really impressed at the kind of the throw of this project. I mean, if you think about 131 early childhood classrooms in Allegheny and Westmoreland County is probably going to be one of the most broadly distributed programs that we've been able to support. So I think that's probably the most exciting aspect for us.
Yeah, that is quite a lot of kids in a short period of time. It's going to be fun to track all of these projects, whether it's Aubrey Schick's Memotes, these robots that are going to be distributed and made and crowdsourced by folks, or Colleen Young getting the Ready Freddy virtual tours of schools, in the case of the Hill District schools, actually made by the Hill District students at Miller and at Weill, as well as the book, the Ready Freddy book, that can be read about or listened to, I should say, on the website. And then Denise Hill, we started with her nearly an hour ago talking about the Kingsley Association's project with the Baby Promise, helping children use technology more responsibly at early ages. And then Wendy, we just talked about her project too. Ryan, congratulations for all the great work that has been happening under the Spark program. You and everybody at Sprout have been so supportive of the community, the Grable Foundation for this particular program as well. Anything else you want to mention in our last minute or two?
Oh, I think we've probably covered almost everything. I'm really happy to have been here and heard the stories of these recent funded projects. I would definitely encourage everyone who is interested to go ahead and register for Making Sparks this coming week. Again, you can do that at spark.sproutfund.org.
spark.sproutfund.org. Thank you all very much for being here this morning. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUPFM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, Ohio, 91.1 WSAJ Grove City, 91.7 WNJR Washington, 91.7 WCUC Clarion, PCTV Comcast 21, Verizon 47 Pittsburgh, and live and on demand at slbradio.org, where it's always Saturday.